welcome to Stay Cool Forever,
the podcast where we deconstruct 90s movies and see if they stand the test of time.
Woo!
We're taking a hard turn into science fiction of the 90s, one of my favorite genres. A lot of my favorite movies growing up are from this.
What are some of your favorite science fiction 90s movies?
Well, as I told you, Event Horizon, which I think we're going to get to later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you had the Matrix trilogy kicking off at the end of the 90s, or right around 2000. You're really putting me on the spot here. I don't know.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. I just think it was pre-CGI dominant science fiction, so people had to be a little more clever with the stories, using practicals and telling like human stories that just happened to be in the future or a dystopia or with crazy technology.
Yeah. Okay. What are mine? Definitely Starship Troopers.
It was great. Yeah.
Starship Troopers is fucking up there. And yeah, the first Matrix. And, of course, I'm completely blanking on any other 90s science fiction movie.
Same. It's really hard, but I know when you and I looked at them together, we were just pulling up sci-fi in the 90s, and every other movie is a classic, I think.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so, yeah, so we're doing a hard turn into sci-fi. And this series we're doing is going to be just 1997 released science fiction films.
Yes, because there were so many good ones from that year specifically.
It's fucking crazy. For example, we're doing Starship Troopers now. Then we're going to do Event Horizon, also in 97. We're going to do Gattaca and The Fifth Element.
And furthermore, what else was in 97?
So I would just
Contact,
like...
Contact, Men in Black.
Yeah, do 12 Monkeys, Terminator 2.
Dark City, a lot of influential movies.
Star Wars Episode One, a classic.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Mnemonic, if you want to. Speaking of Starship Troopers and weird book adaptations.
Oh, I've never heard of this movie.
It's nuts.
Is it Keanu?
Keanu Reeves, yeah. It's weird, like, but in a good, fun way. Like, in a Starship Troopers way,
okay.
Where you're like, wow, this got made, and the ideas are so bold and sometimes nonsensical, but it's really unapologetically just...
Huh.
It's like a very 90s.
Okay.
Something about it.
I've got to tell you, man, I'm this close to getting a portrait of Keanu put up. You know, at this point in my life, that man is a fucking gem.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, though. Armageddon, Independence Day, Total Recall.
Oh, God.
Star Trek First Contact, Stargate. I don't know, The Arrival. Didn't you say something about Existence one time?
Maybe. That's on a top 50 list or something that
we
looked at.
That's what it is. Yeah.
I mean, we don't need to go on.
It's
what you just
crazy.
Heard
yeah.
is, that's a buffet of amazing science fiction movies.
It's the 90s really were the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, it was the future, birth of the internet, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And what's even crazier is so much of this comes from really old literature.
Golden era science fiction shit.
Like
yeah.
that Asimov stuff.
So what... Oh, actually, I'm going to save it. We're doing Starship Troopers.
Right.
Mixing, blending movies here. All right, so I guess you want to just get into it?
Yeah, so Starship Troopers, as we said, based on an old book by Robert Heinlein, or old story that was published by Robert Heinlein, who did Stranger in a Strange Land. It's from 1959.
Oh, what?
So, and in my reading, if I may just dive right into this,
yeah,
it was very much a response to the suspension of nuclear tests at the dawn of the Cold War era
uh-huh.
stuff. So Heinlein, as you can see through the movie, there's a very pro-military, pro-violence as a solution sort of thing. So he was very much an advocate for like a disciplined military society and
Whoa.
Was kind of being critical of the U.S.'s more diplomatic
Whoa.
Approach to, you know, suspending nuclear tests.
Yeah.
And I think that's all on the screen, but it's weird because you got Paul Verhoeven directing it.
What's he done?
He's done RoboCop. He did Showgirls. He did Total Recall.
Oh.
Like, big swing movies that are very cocaine-inspired.
Holy shit.
So this, it's, like, unironically pro-military, and I think, a viewer now could clearly see, like, oh, well, this is problematic, but I think it was really interesting that this movie took the approach it did, where they just, they took the book, or as much of the source material as they could, and just preached that. Without trying to be ironic or pointing out, don't you see the faults? Like, they never tell us. You just kind of have to see it in the movie.
Wow. You know, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I had a train of thought that I was going to cover right now, and then I realized that you were talking about Starship Troopers.
Mm-hmm. Are you still on? You just watched Event Horizon. Okay.
Oh, God. Sorry. Moving on. Yes, it is very fucking pro-military, almost comically.
Yeah.
And I really like how in this movie you get the internet ads.
Yes. Would you like to know more?
Would you like to know more? You know, mm-hmm. Click through, and then there's also a not another teen movie aspect to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, graduating college. I mean, high school.
30-year-olds playing high schoolers.
Dude, those are some old fucking high schoolers.
Yeah.
I really like the idea that either you're gonna go be a fucking artist, you know,
mm-hmm.
or you're gonna join the military and be a citizen.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the difference between a citizen and a civilian?
Mm-hmm.
And that's such an interesting notion, and I think maybe that is an appropriate response to our world now.
It's like, what would an unapologetically, like, you know, borderline fascist or, like, hardline military society look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, that, but, I mean, maybe if we take them, if you kind of split the money up so people can live comfortably,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can go do art, or you can go do the military, and both are necessary. I imagine there should be a companion Starship Troopers piece
mm-hmm.
of what it's like, you know, not being in the army.
Yeah. And again, like, only those people can vote the political power to shape the society.
Yeah.
But they still allow for just civilians, you know, mm-hmm. who have not done that and don't get any say, but yeah, we'll make your art and be your teachers or
be your
bakers.
Free spirit.
Yeah.
Huh. When the hippie movement started in the 60s? Or the 70s?
I would say 60s. When, like, Woodstock was at the end of 69. So
okay. Yeah. So he wrote this then before the crushing of the hippie dippies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting because you said it was he wrote it in 59?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it... My initial thought before realizing that it was in 59 was this is like the pro-Vietnam book.
Oh.
You know, but it totally predates it, so...
Yeah.
I wonder, like, it must just be, like you said, the support of nuclear testing.
Yeah, which is so odd. Apparently he wrote it very quickly because he felt so passionately about it, but it's strange not having the context of the 60s and Vietnam.
Yeah.
That this guy was so strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what? We're not going to test these bombs that can destroy the fucking planet? Have we all gone soft? What country am I living in? And he wrote this insane fucking, like, galaxy, this world.
Yeah.
To prove his point, I guess. And people got the satire of it. Like, I mean, it wasn't satire, but the critics were like, does anyone else think this is a little funny or ironic? But he didn't.
Huh. God, that is such a captivating take.
Mm-hmm.
I know you knew who wrote it. And because you told me that it was a book on, mm-hmm. I think, Thursday. And I was like, what? It's a fucking book? And then... Getting that, and so I didn't Google it, but getting that context now really takes this movie into a weirder space.
Mm-hmm.
Just a super weird space.
Yeah. And it's odd, too, with bugs being the villains, because if you look deep enough from 2019, maybe mm-hmm. you're seeing analogies for, I don't know, just an other, whether it's, like, immigrants or people, you know, over there.
Infesting, yeah.
Yeah.
But
were they attacking us, or did we attack them first? And at what cost does the security come? Like, yes, we have a powerful, stable military, but...
Huh.
Like, you know, whatever, the cost of society. Like, now there's public lashings, and people can't vote unless you are willing to kill or die.
Or die for it, yeah.
And no one really... Apparently the world government is united, but... At what cost? Like, I think some of the book's ideas that they failed to address was, how does a society like this function in peacetime?
Uh-huh.
Like, it doesn't...
Oh, yeah. Totally. And so, that's something I was going to say, is that, so they have that demilitarized zone between the bug world and our world,
mm-hmm.
I guess, and there's colonies out there, there's colonists... And so it seems like it was almost an intentional provocation of the bugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we don't get any much of that story.
Yeah.
It just is happening. And I think that plays into the satire effect of this story.
Mm-hmm.
Is because you didn't fully flesh out the rules.
Yeah. You don't know why you're making the fight, mm-hmm. but you know that this society that's a little sketchy
mm-hmm.
in their morality is 100% for it. So you kind of know there's something up or mm-hmm. that you're not seeing the honest story here.
It's interesting that he wrote it for pro-military because it comes off as a sense that, like, this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Military for military sake.
Whoa. Bless you, Stell.
Bless you, Stell. That's, Stell, everybody. Yeah,
let's get her up on the mic. Say hi.
Say hi, Stell.
Hey!
Oh.
All right.
Thanks, Stell.
Sometimes we get just scratches
yeah.
instead of sneezes.
I will say, however, that the bug aliens have always captivated me. And I think that they are maybe one of the scariest forms of science fiction aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Just a hive mind of creatures that literally live to destroy.
Yeah, just a very simple motivation. Like, destroy, eat, breed, spread.
It almost comes off as an instinct. I don't think they're going out there purposely to, you know, take over.
Mm-hmm.
They're just growing. It's like if the galaxy is an anthill.
Yeah.
You know, and if they see they're being attacked, the red ants are gonna swarm. You know, and I feel like that's kind of what's going on here. And to that end, I find that that's one of the reasons why the Borg are so scary.
Mm.
You know, because it's just a hive collective trying to assimilate. In the same way these bugs are, rather than assimilate, it's just steal resources, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Get space.
Or just spread, because they, like, shoot their spores out into space, so maybe mm-hmm. that's all we're to believe, is that they're just, like humans, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
overpopulate, go to the stars, like, spread your shit out, and just... It's the same motivations,
yeah. Yeah.
but theirs is just, like, instinct, you know, animal.
You're right. You're right. Shit. Do you think... This is a classic example. If I was back in high school, you know how you read some books, like Lord of the Flies, for example?
Sure.
And you think, and you're getting taught all this allegory and all this symbolism,
mm.
and, you know, you pour hours into it and write a report and you read it. The whole time in high school, I thought, did he really intend for all of these things? Or are we just reading into it?
Yeah.
And if I were to go back, I would cite Starship Troopers as an example of that. It's just empty, and you can read into it as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because, I mean, look at us. We're tearing apart a fucking satire Starship movie and coming up with theories, and yet I imagine that guy really didn't have this large of an agenda of comparison of cultures.
Yeah.
You know?
But at the same time, like, the book, and then people talked about it with whatever was going on historically then, 40 years later, the movie,
yeah.
people are talking about it, and now here we are 30 years later,
mm-hmm.
analyzing a movie based on a story that was 50 years older than that, like,
yeah.
I think, just, yeah, like, you know, history repeats itself, and good mm-hmm. human stories allow you to project the human condition onto your characters.
I agree. Do you have a favorite line? I know we'll go into a little bit of quotes later, but...
Oh, sure. Well, I enjoyed a lot of Ratjack's classes at the beginning.
Those are good.
When we first meet the gang, and he's kind of teaching this, you know, pro-military philosophy and
mm-hmm.
the kind of whatever Roman history that has dictated the priorities of this society. The only good bug is a dead bug. God, the propaganda. All the propaganda was so fun.
There are just so many fun lines. Goddamn bugs. I don't want to go into the quotes. You want to just
do them?
Let's just do them. Let's just do them. Okay. Goddamn bugs whacked us, Johnny.
I hear your lieutenant's a real nutbuster.
Let me tell you something. I'm from Buenos Aires and I say kill them all.
Best quote. Come on, you apes. You want to live forever?
Fully automatic Merida. Who wants to hold it?
The children.
Handing it out to children.
That was my favorite thing. Like, looking at this now, knowing what I know about,
yeah.
like, you know, American propaganda, like, mm-hmm. you know, selling like action figures of little Rangers and selling like little toy guns to kids. There is like a very subtle,
for sure.
you know, hint that like, this is normal. Like, kid, put a gun in your hands. Cause one day we're going to ask you to kill for your country.
Yeah.
Like,
you might as well imprint now.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and do one of those, classroom quotes that I really like.
Okay.
Violence, the supreme authority from which all other authority is derived.
Okay, I'm glad you said that one, because the line just before it, I think, is maybe the most profound statement in the whole thing. Is when you vote, you are exercising political authority. You're using force, and force, my friends, is violence, the supreme authority from which all other authority is derived. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then think about, you know, the War of Independence, you know, we were pissed. And so we used violence to leave,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and that's what the country was born from.
Exactly.
We really forget that.
Yeah, like, no, you totally fucking
do. We're only here because we were traitors that resorted to violence.
We're puritanical traitors.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's fucking crazy. How does that even happen? And we won due to the incompetency of British fucking generals.
Yeah.
Did you know that one of the main generals that was coming down from Canada had women and children of the army men mm-hmm. from Britain with them, and they were literally like carrying a town going, you know, maybe a mile or two a day from Canada. So it was a real slow go, and so they were never able to meet up with the other forces, and that if they had gotten there, they would have squandered the Americans.
Why would you bring your kids?
Yeah.
It slows you down, and it de-incentivizes combat.
They didn't want to go.
Mm.
And the king was like, you're fucking going out there, you know, we need you to go. And they're like, what if we let you take your families?
Okay. Because, and then they drag their feet because they don't want to see any combat.
It's not Britain, you know? Like, what are we defending here?
Yeah.
And so it's such an interesting historical point. But that line that you referenced is, I think, it's so powerful because violence is, I guess, the supreme authority. It's at least in a 2019 world still.
Yeah.
We're sending, you know, ships out by Iran.
Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. Because if someone doesn't want to be diplomatic or use reason, then they only have violence. And mm-hmm. you're only going to win the game against that person with mm-hmm. violence. Like, you see that today with, like, you know, in politics or whatever. You know, you can't just appeal to reason all the time. Like, sometimes it's about True. Someone's feeling or someone gets angry. And it's like, well, whatever, I got the bigger stick. Like, you should listen to me. Because
mm-hmm.
might is right. And
it's crazy.
Very relevant.
The sheer amount of parallels from this movie into the world now is captivating.
Yeah.
Even from a fucking ridiculous pro-war science fiction movie. And I think that's the beauty of science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is you can take concepts and put them into something else.
Yeah. Without making them so personal or mm-hmm. political or, you know,
mm-hmm.
disagreeable. It's like, no, they're space aliens. Oh, but they're refugees. And oh, doesn't that make you think of, oh yeah, like there's refugees on Earth in 2019 too. Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, history does repeat itself.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring things out for yourself is the only freedom anyone really has.
You got that one too. Jake Busey had a lot of good ones in this. Everybody should have a friend like me.
I'm sorry. Is he?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's why he looks like...
Holy shit, dude. He Daddy does look Busey. Like Busey. Oh my goodness. I'm floored.
Yeah.
I'm floored. That he looks just like him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry I missed that. What's his name? Jack Busey?
Jake Busey.
Jake Busey.
So Gary. Gary and Jake.
Who needs a knife in a nuke fight anyway?
All right. So the dogs are onto something now.
Okay. Ringo. Chill, dude. Ringo? Such a manly bark. I'm so stoked about this.
He's been here an hour and he's already doing his job.
Yep. Good for you, dude. Good boy.
Zach adopted a new family member today.
Yes, I did.
So you can expect to hear him on future podcasts. Perhaps he and Stell will feed off of each other and be a lot more vocal.
We can only hope that we get more people into the podcast, and I figured this is the best way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Smash anything with more than two legs, you get me?
Sir, we get you, sir.
Sir, we get you, sir!
Funny how they always want to be friends after they rip your guts out.
Looks like a bug was in his brain, sir.
He sucked his brains out.
Oh, you're some kind of big, fat, smart bug, aren't you?
I hate to be rude, buddy. Word has it, she's dead.
One day, someone like me is gonna kill you and your whole fucking race. What a brilliant movie. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I wrote down, for whatever reason, my favorite scene is when they're over Klondothu and the bugs start firing at the ships in orbit. Mm-hmm. And they hit one of the ships, and there's people in the mess hall having lunch, and then they get blown up, and it's like, who the fuck is having lunch in the middle of an invasion?
Oh, good point.
You know what I mean? They're literally over the planet. Like, the invasion is gonna start. You should have eaten an hour ago when, you know, before you were in a war zone.
You could imagine that these military operations, at least for this Sky Fleet or whatever they were called,
mm-hmm.
they're not the combatants on the ground. They got to have people monitoring shit. But I think there was a throwaway line that these blue missiles, like, oh, that's just light. It can't actually hurt us. Like, somebody made a big goddamn mistake. So maybe they're just like, okay, wave one is landing and fighting the war. And, like, you know, wave two is eating breakfast. And then
because they're just dropping people off. So it's probably just shifts of pilots.
Yeah, maybe it's like an Enterprise thing where, like, soldiers are a separate entity in the fight.
Well, they definitely are.
Yes.
That's kind of the crux of the whole...
The class.
The whole thing there,
disparity of, yeah.
And psychics? What a throwaway. Mm-hmm. Why include that?
I don't know. Wishful thinking, I think, on science fiction authors' parts. Everyone wants to believe that we're going to evolve a little more. We develop
to a higher,
yeah, to have superpowers.
Oh, man.
It was weird, though. Like, having a, you know, Neil Patrick Harris, too. Like,
this was, God bless NPH.
This was, like, one of his return pieces. I think in my mind it was like Doogie Howser, and then I didn't see him forever, and it's like, oh, Doogie Howser's in Starship Troopers, and now, of course, he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. What's he done besides, I mean, recently? He did How I Met Your Mother.
Gone Girl.
Harold and Kumar. What is Gone Girl?
Gone Girl. It was that book, Ben Affleck movie that got nominated for awards a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good in it. It's a dark drama, little mystery.
I'm there.
Intrigue. Not a bad movie.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Not a 90s movie, though, so I don't know what we're talking about.
It's not. Yeah. I loved the space football.
Yeah. Well, what you were saying is, like, there was something very simple about these stories. I can't remember your phrasing, but that the characters were, like, oh, jealous boyfriend and jock from the other school who's smarter, and, like, Rico's not very smart, so he has to be infantry.
Rico, dumb!
These are, like...
It's just not another teen movie. High school trope.
What it is. Yeah. You're taking these tropes for very young people and putting them in this crazy world where it's like, oh, my dad's out of home, or like, my dad doesn't want me to go to the military, or like, this girl is friend-zoned and she's always wanted to be with Johnny, but that's why she joined the military, chasing a boy.
And switched.
Yeah.
Switched the battalions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're right. That is the underpinning of the whole thing. What's up with fucking Busey playing the violin? Like, that's his thing?
I guess so. Maybe he just could. And he's like, we gotta write this into the movie. Like, there's still violins in the future.
Can you do a Gary Busey?
Oh, I think I just did.
Okay. That's pretty good. Is Busey here? I bet his dad called. My son really wants to play violin, so you're going to have to write it in.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't, like, any more alarming than any of the other casually...
Not at all. You know, not at all.
There's something real interesting about this movie's future is that you can tell it was made in the 90s for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
All the, like, fashion and haircuts, like the bad prom dresses at the, prom they were having.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, the music at the prom. Like, anytime they tried to do something non-military spaceship that was, like, it's the future, it felt...
It had a Clueless vibe or whatever. Yeah.
Just, like, I'm sure someone who was more versed in the hairstylings and clothes and the fits of things from the 90s would be like, oh yeah, this is garbage. But like, take Jake Busey's haircut, like that fucking crown spiky bleach blonde thing.
Yeah.
Or what was his name? Xander. The one that Denise Richards ended up with.
Oh.
Like the handsome jock from the other school. Like his hair was garbage the whole time.
That guy had a look like
Patrick Muldoon.
The dad from House on Hill Street. Okay. But as at a younger, much younger age.
He reminded me of like a poor Rob Lowe. Or like maybe like a meth Rob Lowe or something.
Sure. Like, yeah.
But I thought some of the like older actors, I guess you'd call them like, not cameos, but like that guy who plays Rat Jack, Michael Ironside.
God bless that guy.
He's in so much good science fiction. He's the bad guy in Total Recall.
Wow.
And he just like really delivers on this character.
He's pointing with the nub and shit.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
He's like telling his, you know, subordinate to kill him. To execute him on the battlefield.
Oh, yeah, you gotta execute me, yeah.
Rigo, you know what to do.
Oh, I love the the combat promotions.
Oh, yeah, where it's like, oh, Sarge is dead. Like, you're squad leader now.
What?
So, like, and what I wonder is who's communicating this?
Oh, yeah. Because,
like, Rico got promoted when they were, like, trapped in the, not the Mormon base, but, you know, the base that was overrun where they were like, oh, he sucked his brains out and the guy was hiding in the freezer.
Yeah.
Like, Johnny, I think, got promoted 2 or 3 times within that scene. Yeah. So when he then calls, like, the spaceships at orbit, you know, like, I'm commander, I need, you know, evac or whatever. And they're like, what? You're a...
Who the fuck are
you? You're, like, a private. Like, what are you... You can't make this request. And he's like, no, a couple people died. I'm totally the boss. They didn't... No one phoned that in? No one told you I got promoted?
True, yeah. The logistics on that's ridiculous.
But it's comical, because by the end of the movie, you have actual children, actual teenagers playing the new recruits, and now Johnny Rico, you know, some 20-something, who still looks like a fucking child, is like, I'm the veteran now, like, stealing quotes from his dead predecessors.
Yeah. Now tell me, whatever happened to that guy? Rico.
Rico. James,
in real life.
James Vanderbeek? I got the,
Is he related to...
Oh, no, not James Vanderbeek. That's Dawson. Sorry, Casper Van Dien. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Casper Van Dien, Johnny Rico. He was... I was only aware of him because of this movie. Oh, he was in Alita Battle Angel, apparently.
Oh, he's making a return.
He was in Sleepy Hollow, the Tim Burton one.
What?
And he was in some late 90s Tarzan movie that no one asked for. And maybe some... some like straight-to-DVD stuff. Hawaii 5-0 reboot. I think he was in the other Starship Trooper movies, or maybe did voices for it.
Have you seen those?
No, I haven't seen any of the sequels.
Me either.
I'm just gonna go out on a limb here and say, like, there weren't great actors in this, outside of, like, Rat Jack or the drill sergeant. What is that guy's name? Clancy Brown, Sergeant Zinn.
Good dude, yeah.
Yeah, he's, like, from Pet Sematary. He pops up in movies here and there, but...
Yeah, real good character. Yeah. Actors, you know?
Yes. But, like, the young people, possibly to the service of the movie, were even criticized as being, like, very wooden. Like, let's not kid ourselves. Denise Richards is not compelling. Like, most of her line reads made you laugh because you're like, what? I guess, like, you know, Verhoeven, maybe language barrier, cocaine. Maybe he wanted it to feel very, like, you know, simple and not another teen movie-ish. Where, like,
everyone's just projecting.
Yeah.
They're literally telegraphing what's going on in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
I truly enjoyed this movie.
I did too.
Every time.
It's solid. If you can, like, look past the ironic presentation, like, the effects were not bad for the time.
Fuck no.
Like, if you look closely, you'll notice stuff, but I really appreciate the practicals, the slime and the goo.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
So, I'll say that, the warp effects, dope. They just looked really cool. And I was like, that's awesome. Yeah. Real tunnel of, like, stars. Mm-hmm. My biggest qualm with this movie is the uncanny amount of bullets in a cigarette box-sized cartridge.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
Just using bullets in general. Like, I guess it wasn't cost efficient to use lasers.
They didn't want to do lasers, yeah.
Or just nuke them first. Like, I wondered, I know that first ground battle at night on the moon was like supposed to kind of set the stakes, and the movie starts there, and then we come back to it later. But like, why did they even land? Because in the next invasion, they're like, we're gonna nuke or bomb first, and then you guys can go mop up the rest.
I agree.
It's like, so why did you send down? I guess they said 100,000 died in an hour on the news. I'm like, you just sent 100,000 people onto the bug planet, like, when you could have just bombed it.
For, like, zero fucking reason.
Yeah, they didn't even know about the brain bug then, so it's not like they stood to get intel or an advantage. Like,
I just wonder, what do you think the rules are? So, we know they're bugs. We know they're arachnids, and they're probably not too sentient, at least presented in this movie. So, and they're literally trying to spread out and expand as a culture. What are the rules as a society if we had a Death Star? Do you think it would have been, you know, copacetic to just eliminate the planet?
That's what I'm wondering. They don't explain that we're out there for their resources, which would have maybe contextualized it better in 2019. Like, well, why are we killing the bugs? Is it because they attacked us first? Because even that isn't made clear, like, who shot the first. They're on. It shows a map of the Milky Way, and they're on the opposite side.
Literally, yeah.
So even when they're like, oh, they used their spore blue beam thing to, like, send an asteroid. They have an endless supply of asteroids that they send to this. Like, is that just, like, a bullshit government story? To justify a war of choice? And for what? For their resources? For galactic dominance? Like, at what point?
Oh my god.
I'm assuming it was one of those, we tried to colonize an outer rim and some dudes bumped into, you know, like natives. In, like, colonization here.
It's all
like,
Maldives.
Yeah, like, there was a communication barrier and I guess a shot was fired, so now we're at odds with each other.
Saddam's got nuclear weapons.
Yeah, he's just hiding them. He's driving them around on
You
that
see how they move around?
You know what I always pictured, that, like, Star Wars thing that the Jawas live on? Like, the Junker where they have all the broken robots?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I imagined when they were saying, Saddam's moving around, weapons of mass, just like a big fucking, like a hotel tank that just drives around, like, hiding some non-existent nukes.
You know, to Star Wars' credit, really cool ship designs.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Even when it was just pieces of junk, like, glued and spray-painted together.
Dude, the fucking, the forest speeders?
Oh, those were awesome.
I used to have an action figure one.
Same.
It was my favorite. And then you had the special stormtrooper, like, the, like, with the square lens, you know? He's like the ranger stormtrooper or whatever. Yeah.
Different helmets for different operations.
But they're all the same guy.
Oh, right, they're the clone of, what's his name, Jango Fett?
Was it Jango?
Was that Boba Fett's dad?
Oh my god.
I think so. I haven't seen the 1 through 3 in a long time.
Since they came out, pretty much. Alright, well.
So yeah, I don't know if you have any, like, further thoughts on this. I would certainly recommend it, like.
Oh, yes. One single thought. The Mormon colony? Just getting unnecessarily destroyed and slaughtered?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Just that. Oh, God. It reminds me of that, I forget, this was a story from a little earlier this year of that Christian missionary that was trying to go to the Sentinel Island. You know, like, because like, oh, I want to spread the gospel, but it seems more like you wanted to be a martyr to justify. I don't know what that kid's, like, problem was.
Something, yeah.
Like, just leave him alone, bro. Like,
no one goes there.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
So why would Mormons? Yeah. Which was, like, very cute, because in my experience, Mormons tend to be very nice people.
They're so sweet.
Whatever their politics in Utah, who knows what that's like. But for them to, like, oh, yeah, we're going to go convert roaches and spread the gospel of John Smith to fucking, like... Are just bugs. It's so silly.
We're gonna go convert roaches and spread the gospel of John Smith. He had a third tab, dude. Okay.
Oh, it's another stone.
Yeah. Okay. The bugs needed it. Yeah. So yeah, I have nothing further. I love this movie.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I think that's a great thing about the sci-fi too, is we don't have to unpack, like, any real, like, what am I trying to say, like, all the problematic shit of, like, you know, just a movie, like a 70s movie or something, like, who directed it, who stars in it, like, there's obviously all these, like, representation issues, but I think punting it into sci-fi sort of your future world doesn't have that kind of baggage, mm-hmm. but they can tell stories
that relate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. we can, I feel like where you're alluding is we're going to pivot Stay Cool Forever into looking at science fiction movies.
Yeah.
Exclusively, because then we can unpack the notions of the world now through, as you just said, you know.
Yeah, like the themes and, yeah. you know, project them onto today or...
Exactly.
And that's the greatest thing, is so much of this stuff is based on old, you know, Asimov and Philip K. Dick. Like, mm-hmm. stories that are, you know, 70, 80 years old and somehow
still relevant.
Yeah, just the human social implications are... It's just really fun to unpack, so...
I couldn't agree more.
I'm glad we're doing this.
Me too.
Well, I'm Wade.
Oh yeah, and I'm Zach.
And this has been...
Stay Cool Forever.